In your Bibles, the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 1, verses 15, 16, and 17. These were the verses that Josie repeated. These were the memory verses that our children learned in the past week. Josie was able to say them off the top of her head. I'm going to read it from the page because I don't trust my memory in front of all of you. And this is an incredible passage. The full passage probably goes through to verse 20. We didn't learn all of it. We thought it was just too much for all the children, particularly the younger ones. So we concentrated on the first three verses. We could have gone on because it's all linked together, but we'll just concentrate on the first three verses this evening. So let's listen to God's word. Colossians chapter 1, commencing at verse 15. He, that's Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. Amen. I read on through there just to read the whole passage in context, but as we did in camp, we just want to focus primarily on the first three verses. It's an incredible portion of Scripture. And actually, as the Apostle Paul wrote this, as he wrote it to the church in Colossae, under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, it would have been written in a poetic style. Really, what we have here is a poem in the midst of a letter. And Paul is writing here not to show off his clever writing. He writes this not to show off his literary skills. He's writing in this because it's just the best way that he can find to express something that he wants the Colossians to get. He wants to tell the Colossians something that they badly need to know. They need to know that above all else, if they are to grow as Christians, that Jesus Christ must be central in their lives. And the reason Jesus Christ must be central in their lives is because he is preeminent. He is supreme above all things in the universe. And Paul writes this portion because he wants this church to get it, that Jesus Christ must be central because Jesus Christ is supreme in all things. And the more they get to know about Jesus Christ, the more these Christians understand who the true God is and what Jesus Christ has done and what it means to live for him, the greater effect it will have upon their Christian lives. And much of the rest of this letter, what follows in chapter 2 and 3, right through to chapter 4 as well, is an explanation of what he has written down here in this poem. Paul wants the readers to get this. Jesus Christ is supreme. And because Jesus Christ is supreme, he must be central in your lives. What did we want to get across to the children in the past week? That Jesus Christ is supreme above all things. And because Jesus Christ is supreme, he must be central in your lives. And that's what we tried to do as we taught our way through stories in Mark's gospel. The teaching material we used was actually based on Christianity Explored. It was Christianity Explored for children, teaching all about Jesus Christ and who he is. And as you sit here this evening, as we spend a few moments looking at these verses, what do I want us all to grasp? That Jesus Christ is supreme. And because Jesus Christ is supreme, he must be central in our lives as well. Christianity is not a list of rules. Christianity is not just a theory. It's not just a philosophy. Do you know what Christianity is? It's all about a person. It's all about a person. Jesus Christ, the central one of history, the central one we need to base our lives upon, Jesus Christ. That's what the Colossians need to know, and that's what each one of us need to know this evening as well. And by looking at Jesus Christ, we discover what God is like. Look at verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. By looking at Christ, we discover what God is like. The Bible tells us that God is a spirit. The Bible tells us that nobody has ever seen God. But Jesus Christ, God the Son, came into this world. Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to over 2,000 years ago, and he took on human form. God came near to us. And it is only in Jesus Christ that we can see the invisible God. It is only in Jesus Christ that God is revealed perfectly to human beings like us. And since no creature can perfectly reveal what God is like, Jesus Christ must be God. If he is the image of God, he must be God himself. And that's what we were teaching the children this week. Mark's Gospel, it might ring a bell with you. We've been working through Mark's Gospel on Sunday evenings through most of this year. And really what we wanted to grasp is that Jesus is God. Jesus was God the Son here on earth. And as we worked our way through Mark's Gospel, there was lots of evidence, lots of proof as we looked at lots of different stories that Jesus really is God in human form, the image of God living here on earth. Do you want to know what God is like? Look to Jesus. We wanted the children to know what God was like, and so we pointed them to Jesus Christ. Do you want to live a godly life? Then look to Jesus, because he is the image of the invisible God. But how do we see Jesus? Yes, Jesus Christ came from heaven. He walked this earth, but that was 2,000 years ago. Those people in his day could see him. They could see him with his eyes. They could listen to him as he spoke with authority, as he told these great parables. But we don't have that opportunity. We live in a different era of history. We cannot see the living image of God here on earth. But God has revealed his Son to us, and he's revealed his Son to us through Scripture. And so as we read God's Word, Jesus Christ is revealed to us. And that's why we really encourage the children to read God's Word. So in our morning Bible times, every morning, children brought their Bibles, they opened their Bibles, and we read the Scripture together. And then when they went into their small groups, they opened their Bibles, and they looked at verses, and they studied God's Word. Because as they looked at God's Word, what do we want them to see? We wanted them to see Jesus Christ. We wanted them to see the one who is supreme above all things. And as we look at God's Word, and as Christ is revealed to us through God's Word, what do we see? We see Christ's love. And we see his compassion as he deals with people. We also see his hatred for sin. We see his hatred for religious hypocrisy, those people who acted all religious and yet their hearts were far from God. What else do we see as we look at Christ as he revealed in Scripture? We see his grace. And we see his grace for people who don't deserve it, people like us. We see exactly the heart of God when we see Christ as he lived here on earth. Verse 15 says, he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Now, the firstborn doesn't mean that he was born first. That's where the Jehovah's Witnesses pick on that. They say, well, Jesus isn't God's son. He is a created being because Colossians 1, verse 15 says that he is firstborn. He must have been born like everyone else. It's not what that word means. It's not what that word means in the context of biblical writing here. Really, when Scripture talks about firstborn, what it's talking about is not time scale, that he was born chronologically first. But what it's talking about is a position and a status. So we take Abraham's son Isaac. He was not Abraham's firstborn son. Ishmael was the firstborn son. But what did Isaac have? He had the status and the position of the firstborn son. And that's really what Scripture is saying. Christ has that status of the firstborn. He has the highest position. He is the highest authority because he is God the Son. He is over all things. He is preeminent and he is supreme. And then these verses go on to tell us that Christ is over all things. He's over all things because he created all things. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he is the head of the body. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He is over all things. Jesus Christ was never created. That's what verse 17 told us. He is before all things. And so in the past week, we tackled that question. Who created God? It's a common question. It's a common question that children ask all the time. Where did Christ come from? Who created him? And we really answered, he is before all things. Jesus Christ is supreme. And this is a remarkable thing to say, because Jesus Christ is somebody who lived here on earth in recent history, 2,000 years ago. But he's more than just a figure of history. Somebody who was born 2,000 years ago, lived for 30-odd years, and died. What Colossians actually tells us here is he is actually before history. He's the one who is supreme. And last week, we spent the week in the Kingdom of Mourne, traveling around County Down. So I joked to a few people, I felt it was good to get back, just breathing a bit of County Down air again last week. But as we looked out, just the spectacular scenery. You might have seen some of it in the video. I think your weather here was worse than the weather we had. We were out looking at the moors, looking at the mountains, and the forest parks. Didn't quite get to the beach this year. It wasn't warm enough for that. But spectacular scenery. And why is it beautiful? Because Jesus Christ made it. And he made it that way. And we could see the hand of Christ in the creation all about us. And no wonder the winds and the waves obeyed him. No wonder diseases and death fled for him. Those stories that we read in Mark's gospel. Because he's the one who created all things. And he's the one that is over all things. Christ is the preeminent one over all creation. He made it and he holds it together. So why do we go and camp as leaders? Last week, as we lay down on our airbed for the first time, we probably asked that question. Why are we still doing this? Why are we going for a week where we'll be sleep deprived? Up at the crack of dawn, and last ones to bed after the final child has fallen asleep. Why do we go and camp? It's lots of fun. It's great activities. We get to eat ice cream. We get to buy sweets in the tuck shop, all those kind of things. Now, the reason we go and camp is we want these children to realize that Jesus Christ is preeminent. We want them to realize that Jesus Christ is supreme over all things. And we want to speak into the lives of these children because we want the children to put Jesus Christ in first place in their lives. We want them to call upon him as their Savior and to make him Lord of their life as well. If you're a Christian here this evening, will you pray for the ministry of camps? Will you pray for children that we've spoken to in the past week? Will you take time this week to pray for the camp that's taking place in Malile? As folks from our church and from other churches as well are teaching these children, speaking into their lives and telling them that Jesus Christ is supreme above all things. He's the one you need to base your life upon. Will you pray for Simon and Gian as they're sharing Christ with the CEF camp? We pray for different folks from our church as they head off to different places. See Lucy sitting in front of me. Lucy's heading off on a beach missions team in just a week's time, heading down to Ballybunion. Why is she going? So these children will hear about Jesus Christ and that Jesus Christ is supreme above all things. We worked our way through Mark's gospel in our teaching this week. I actually taught the final session linked in with our series, and we looked at Mark chapter 8. And it's there in Mark 8 where Jesus turns to his disciples and he asks them this question, "But who do you say that I am?" And we wanted to challenge the children. You've learned all these things about Jesus, how he created all things, how he holds everything together. But here's the big question we all need to answer. But who do you say that I am? Is Jesus Christ preeminent in your life? That's a challenge to the children in camp. It's a challenge to us this evening. I wonder what the answer is in your mind and in your heart as well. Is Jesus Christ the preeminent one, preeminent in your life? Who do you say that Jesus Christ is? Just a figure of history? Just a myth? A legend? Somebody you admire, respect? Or is he the living Son of God who died on a cross for you, who rose again, and you can say, he's my Savior. He is preeminent in my life. I trust he is. Let's just pray. Dear Father, we thank you for Scripture. We thank you for the truth of Scripture, that it teaches us about your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who is the image of God, the one who has revealed God to us, revealed his kindness and his love and his grace and his holiness. We thank you that Jesus Christ is preeminent. And our prayer and desire is that Christ will be preeminent in the hearts and lives of people here tonight, of everyone here tonight, of those children who are reached in camp, those children who will be reached through holiday Bible clubs in this town over the next number of weeks as well, through the Malile camp as they meet and start their Bible teaching this evening, Simon and Jean share in Kilkeel down at the CEF camp this week as well. We pray that Christ would be preeminent. We know he is preeminent, but we pray it be preeminent supreme as he reigns in hearts and lives. We ask all this in the mighty name of our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.